Okay, what is going on YouTube? Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, it was the captaincy this week was obvious, wasn't it? It was obvious. 2.4 million FPL managers backing Mo Salah and another 500,000 backing Kane. What the hell went wrong? It was captaincy blanks all round, unless you captained a certain Bruno Fernandes. What went wrong this game week?
Everything.
All the big hitters going down. Terrible.
2.4 million, nearly 2.5 million. 780,000, 540,000, Captain Son.
Bonkers.
All blanks.
Absolutely bonkers.
I mean, Son get a clean sheet point because he went off before the Wolves goal, but...
You're taking that as a Son captainer
right now.
I mean,
if you're a Son captainer, you've had a result.
And who'd have thought it, Sam? But Big Sam Allardyce suddenly is a tactical genius.
Who'd have thought it? Should have given the captain's armband to Souček this week.
God, don't even get me started about Souček. My game week, guys, has gone from good to bad. And it went from good to bad on Friday night when I took the terrible decision to have my FPL thinking influenced by you on Friday night. Bad, bad idea.
Look.
I was sitting there, guys, sitting there with my team, and we'll talk about team. Welcome to FPL Family, by the way. We'll be discussing all the game week we've just seen, the game week coming up, which is tomorrow, by the way. So
yeah,
no time to breathe. Game week 16 starts tomorrow. We're talking about our teams and everything else. But on Friday night, I was influenced by you for the first time this season, and you convinced me to start Che Adams. And bench Souček.
No, I didn't tell you to bench Souček.
Absolute disaster.
No, Sam. I never told you to bench Souček. I just said you can't bench Che Adams against Fulham. That was all I said.
Yes, you can.
All I said to you was you can't bench Che Adams, who's been in good form, against Fulham. I didn't say you should bench Souček for Che Adams.
Nuclear atoms is in. He's absolutely right. This game looked too perfect to go wrong. Again, I looked at it, same as I do every bloody week. I looked at it, I was like, on paper, that looks really good. Salah captain against West Brom. What's not to like there?
The thing is, for me this game week was, and you'll see later, it was yet another beautiful bench. You can guarantee, you can absolutely guarantee that when I play my bench boost, I get 0-0-0. Whereas this week, I've got 19 on my bench again.
Your bench would actually be like top of most mini leagues right now,
honestly,
wouldn't it?
It's ridiculous. But it's every week, and I knew going into this week. Like,
who did you have? Souček, Dallas, and
Bissouma, who even got a bonus point.
He got a bat.
Yeah. So I'm like sitting here looking at that, and I knew on Friday night when I set my team, I was really torn on Carl Walker, Peters, Dallas, and I didn't want to bench either of them, but I couldn't play five at the back because that felt ridiculous. Who was I going to bench? But actually, I should have just gone with my gut and played five at the back. But hey,
well there we go. Stringjoy is in. Hey Stringjoy, 49 points this game week, 16 on my bench. Ha ha. Yeah, there are a lot of Souček's on the bench, guys. A lot of Souček's on the bench, and you're looking at two of them right here.
Take
shocking.
Souček's and
cannot not play Souček now. He's got players.
Yeah, but he blanks when I play him, and he does this when I bench him.
Unbelievable. We'll be discussing a few of the games, guys. I don't think we're going to have time to go through every single game in game week 15.
No, we've got to talk about
but we are going to pick out a couple of games where there are some FPL assets that we're looking at. I want to talk about Leeds in particular. I want to talk about Manchester City again not going big in a game where we thought they might go big. And the thumbnail tonight is It's Time to Talk About Kevin.
Oh, it is.
Which I thought was a great title that you come up with for the stream, because it's obviously Home Alone, it's Christmas, and Merry Christmas to all of you guys that were celebrating. I hope you had a wicked Christmas and a wicked Boxing Day. But it is time to talk about Kevin, and that is not Kevin from Home Alone, it is Kevin De Bruyne. Because again, in a game where we're expecting Man City to go big and him to go big, it just didn't happen for them, and they just sat there and were kind of happy to see out a professional 2-0. Now, if you're a Man City fan, that's absolutely fine. But if you're a KDB earner in FPL, you're looking for more, aren't you?
100%.
You're looking for more. You really are.
100%.
Let's get on with the show. Let's get on to our main page. There's our Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. You can also find us at FPL Family over on Instagram as well. And if you search for FPL Family on Facebook, we also have a Facebook page, which we'd love you to go and like, follow, subscribe, all that good stuff. Let's say hello to a few people, Sam. We have got a super chat straight in with the super chat from Upgrade. Okay, Upgrade, very nice to see you. What to do with De Bruyne? Well, Upgrade, we will absolutely be talking about what to do with Kevin De Bruyne when we get to the Man City game. A lot of Twitter apathy for Kevin De Bruyne this weekend. A lot of knee-jerking. I want him out. He's gone. He's not good enough. I want somebody else.
Nice.
I want this. I want this. But then a lot of people saying, well, I'm going to take him out so that I can fund this move to Son and Kane for the next two Spurs fixtures. And based on what we saw tonight, maybe some people are having a rethink of that. But we'll come to that a bit later on. Liam Healy with the super chat. Hey, Liam, how are you doing, mate? Very nice to see you. Evening, Lee and Sam. Hope you had a good Christmas, mate. We did. We were in tier four, but we made the most of it, mate, and it was great. It was really good. Finally made it into the top million for the first time this season, Liam. Well done, mate. That is a great foundation on which to build the rest of your season, mate. So I hope you had a good Christmas. Thank you for the super chat. Really, really kind of you. Tinky Winky is in, Sam. Tinky Winky. 36 points this week. Tough one for Tinky Winky. It's a tough Tinky Winky.
It's a bit po, isn't it?
Tinky's a bit... That's shocking. It's a bit po for Tinky Winky. Yeah, shocking.
was good for me.
That was quite good for you. I'll give you that. Thanks. Yeah, it's very good. Very good.
Pat's on back.
Nihal with the super chat. Thank you, Nihal. He says, what is wrong with Spurs? KDB to Son was my plan, but maybe Nihal is maybe not thinking about doing that as the plan now. So let's see. Again, more KDB talk when we get to the City game. But yes, based on what we've just seen at Molineux, Spurs trying to sit there and defend a lead or defend a draw as they were against us at Anfield, losing the points again. Same with Palace, same with Liverpool, now the same with Wolves. Are we starting to spot a bit of a worrying pattern now for the way that Jose sets up that team? John Thurgood is in, 55 points. Say, John, how are we doing? Blues FPO is in. He says, Suchek, 3 bonus points as well. Blues, I don't need to know.
Yeah,
we know. We know. We know, mate. We know. Got 10
Believe
points.
Believe us. We both know.
We know, mate. We know. Azzy is in. How are we doing, Azzy? KDB seems to play bad in the rain, lol. I haven't noticed that, actually. I'll take your word for that, Azzy. A few people in the chat, Sam, saying, you know, I appreciate Spurs didn't play well, but if you could, you know, just hold back the rage. You haven't got any hats on tonight. So hopefully the camera's going to stay intact for this evening.
I'm not raging today.
No rages.
Back above you, I'm not raging.
You're back above me. That's par for the course, I'm afraid, guys, around here. It wasn't going to last long. I milked it, to be fair.
You milked it for, what, 5 days?
It just so happened to be in a week we were going on the FPL show, so I made sure that we mentioned it.
Who's back on the FPL show on Thursday? Time.
Are you back on again? Oh, get in. Who are you on? Although Gianni.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, you have got one more game week. Because obviously we've got tomorrow. So
yes,
you
tomorrow
still
and
could
yes.
go,
yeah,
in theory, happen. If you keep benching your points.
Could happen. Well, we will, of course, be talking towards the end of the stream about the fixtures for game week 16, but what we are going to do as well. Where are you going to go with your transfers at game week 16? Who's your captaincy, all that? Because I don't think captaincy is quite as cut and dry as perhaps we thought it was.
Isn't it?
For game week 15. Well, I don't know. Let's see. A few of you on the wild card as well. FPO Fan Show Prince is in.
Oh,
how are we doing, Fan Show?
It's
wild card time for a lot of people. So you have like less than 24 hours to hit the button, sort your team out, and get it done. 1:30 deadline, PM, GMT, so like
tomorrow.
Middle of the afternoon tomorrow. So guys,
if you're playing
your wild card, which a lot of you will have, because it's use it or lose it time.
I'm glad I'm not. That would really stress me.
That's a stressful few hours, like, isn't it? You wouldn't sleep, would you?
No, I'm glad I've used mine, because genuinely, it was bad enough when I had just a normal day. Like, I remember when I used mine last year, it was a tight deadline, but it wasn't like... less than 12 hours.
Quite a few FPL managers out there saying, Sam, they don't feel like they want the wild card. They feel like the wild card's a bit of a burden on their team. They're happy with the team and actually making changes for the sake of change's sake.
Yeah, but
are we going to see a few FPL managers actually burning the wild card?
Well, do you remember last year? If you recall back to this time last year when I used my wild card, I felt like that. I felt like I was using my wild card for the sake of using my wild card. So in the end, I made peripheral changes to my team. I kept the structure as my team the way that
and
it was.
You just faffed about the edges.
And I just tweaked the edges a bit. And I think that's fine. Like, I think if you're happy with your team, don't feel that you're compelled to fully wildcard it if you don't think it's necessary.
Totally, yeah. Like, I think Mark Southern's even, I think he tweeted a couple of times, look, unwanted wildcard for sale. Anybody want it? Because you know, if you've got the wildcard burning a hole in your pocket, but you're happy with your team.
Exactly.
Fix what you're not happy with.
Yeah.
But if you're happy with it, don't make wholesale changes.
Would be my suggestion.
You know, build to get the double in 19, etc.
Whatever your plan is,
build around that. But you know, don't go crazy on the game on the wild card if you feel like you don't need to. James Ward is in. Hey, James. Gianni talks a lot of sense on FPL. Yes, he does, mate.
I thought it was going to be James Ward Prowse for a bit. Then I was going to say, hello.
James Ward Prowse. Yeah, absolutely. Julie Lloyd. Hey, Julie, how are we doing? Very nice to see you. FPL Geordie is in. How are we doing? He says his bro, is burning his wild card. Yeah, there you go. You see? Can happen. It can happen. Azzy, thank you for the super chat. How jammy was Watkins' hat-trick of assists?
Who?
Watkins. Yes.
Who?
There's no hats on, is there? No, nothing for you to throw. Put the tea down.
What, who?
Put the tea down. He's dead to you now, is he?
Dead.
He's
dead. Dead to me.
11-pointer.
I saw him
Watkins
smiling and
week.
I thought, who are you?
Honestly, Azzy, do you know what? I tend to agree with you. I put a bit of a tongue-in-cheek tweet out there about how jammy his three assists were, because two came from poor finishes that were rebounds, and one was just a pass for Al Ghazi's worldie. But he could have got like two goals on top of that as well.
No, he can't. Because he can't score. Have you seen him? His finishing is diabolical. He can't score a goal. Even with his 11 points or whatever he got, I'm much, much happier with Bamford.
Watkins can't finish his dinner, can he?
He's useless.
And as a Grealish owner, it was painful.
Why are you
painful.
Still a Grealish owner?
Because Grealish should be getting 20 pointers every week.
How long are you going to say this for?
Oh, but he does
week in, week out.
Every third game week, he gets double digits.
We've got some points. Better hold him for another couple of weeks. Oh, he's blank for 2 weeks. Oh, Grealish. Oh,
Who would you take him out for then?
Anyone else!
Says you with Bissouma. Christ
the right. I don't understand. You can't keep him. Surely you're not keeping him through these difficult fixtures they've got.
Sam, we've got to get on. We've got so much to discuss. We can't talk about Grealish. We've got to get on. Here is the Twitter at FPL Family, as I mentioned before, over on Instagram. All the links in the description below at FPL Family over on Instagram. Instagram follow count currently at?
7902.
Guys, if 100 of you that are not following us on Instagram went and followed us on Instagram at FPL Family, by the end of this live stream, you'd be on 8K. Would that make you happy?
It would.
Would the tea stay on the coaster and the hat stay on your head?
Depends. If they follow me and they want me to throw stuff, I'll throw it.
That's it. Follow us on Instagram. If you want to see more Sam rage, get followed on Instagram and you shall have it.
Do you know, I don't feel very ragey this weekend.
Well, you've had a good week, Sam.
Yeah, but it's been Christmas and you know, you can't be raging at the moment. I feel like I could rage tomorrow. I was a little bit raging at Klopp today.
A little bit raging at Klopp? Why?
Yeah. I mean, could have told the kid, who was it? Who came on? Williams. He could have said,
oh, yeah.
Could you just go a bit slower?
Yeah, go a bit slower. 40 seconds
just
until 40 that Matip clean sheet.
Just go for another run. Matip will walk off a bit slower.
Oh. I told you on the FPL show, Matip.
I don't care. He got 7 points.
Got a transfer out now.
Well, yeah, but I've had to deal with a Chilwell problem. We've got one.
Well, there we go. Here are the games for the game week, Sam. Let's get on to the games. Here they are. We are not going to go through every single game by game, because we just don't have time, I don't think. But game week 15, here's the tail of the tape. I do want to talk about Leicester and Manchester United. So 2-2, the first game of the weekend, which I thought was going to be one of those Boxing Day early kickoffs. Thought it was going to be a bit of a difficult game, but actually, really, really good game. Fernandes coming up with the goods again.
So reliable,
Bruno Fernandes. I must admit, I feel like it's a big, big failing of mine as an FPL manager this season that it took me so long to get Bruno Fernandes. It was, and I had other things I wanted to do in my team, and my team dynamic was such that I couldn't fit Bruno in there. Now I've got him, I'm like, why would you not have this guy?
It's a lovely feeling. Unreal. Only Bruno Fernandes is a lovely feeling, because every game week you feel like, unless there's another player out there that's got a much, much better fixture, that you've got a captain that you can just put it on, because he's so consistent.
But the question I have for you about Manchester United, though, is we've sat here week after week and said, oh, Man U, it's all Bruno.
Yeah.
Are the players around him starting to get up to his level, though? Is Rashford starting to put in a few performances? Martial, but are Manchester United playing that little bit better to the point where you'd want to invest in them ahead of Wolves and Aston Villa away? Wolves and Aston Villa at home. Wolves at home next is a reasonable fixture. How are we feeling about the double up?
I do still think Bruno's enough.
You do?
I do. I feel like, I mean, Rashford's flagged, right? Martial, I just thought, I'm not feeling Martial at all. I don't get the hype. Rashford, I could sort of buy into the Rashford thing. But equally, I feel like I just feel so comfortable owning Fernandes, and there are other players. I think there would be other priorities that I would have for players over Marcus Rashford.
And as he is in, he's saying Fernandes is a myth. Yes, it's totally gone now. It's totally gone. I think he's the highest. If you take penalties out,
I think you created this myth.
I didn't create it.
I think you did create it.
This is an FPL Twitter created. No, I didn't.
You created this on the basis that you didn't. You wanted to have a reason not to get Bruno. So you created this myth around him. But actually, Bruno is just an FPL legend.
Right, live chat in the comments. Did I, Lee from FPL Family, create this concept of hashtag Fernandes? Was that me?
Probably.
Or was that just somebody else? That was not me that did that. It was not me. But anyway, Azzy, you are absolutely... sharp. That is absolutely right, Azzy. The Fernandes thing, he's gone. The penalties now are an added bonus.
They are,
right? He's out there. He's a high scoring midfielder in terms of goals without penalties. So listen, nothing wrong with that whatsoever. You've got to get him in. And ahead of Wolves and Aston Villa at home, and then obviously the double game week against Liverpool and Fulham away, looking like an absolute keeper for me. Leicester, from their perspective, though, are a team that I'm potentially looking at, Sam, for this run. Crystal Palace next, who, as we know, are a team that we're looking to target, if anything, because they feel like whipping boys right now. Then it's Newcastle away for Leicester. Then, of course, it's the blank, which if you're free hitting an 18 is no problem. Then they've got a double against Southampton and Chelsea. Now, you'd say Southampton and Chelsea, two home games there, and Leicester maybe better away than they are at home. So, okay, Crystal Palace and Newcastle away, great for Leicester. But then two games at home against teams that you'd expect to come and attack them, Southampton and Chelsea. They're not going to sit and play the low block. That might actually benefit Leicester at home. So I kind of feel like I want to invest in Leicester a little bit.
Do you?
I do, yeah. I do. And given they've got a good result there at home to Manchester United, it's a reasonable result. Harvey Barnes with the goal, but Vardy, again, with the assist, ticking over the points. Not looking at Vardy, not looking at Barnes or anybody else. Madison coming back. They look much better with Ndidi, don't they?
Yeah, yeah.
You're still not convinced?
No.
Wow, okay.
I wasn't impressed with Leicester at all in this game.
Okay.
I thought Manchester... Why not? What do you mean, why not?
You just weren't impressed with them?
Just weren't impressed with them. I didn't think they played very well. I didn't think they deserved anything from the game.
Okay.
And I, apart from James Justin, who every time I watch him, I think you're a really nice little player, and he gets into all the right sort of areas. And for the next couple of games, there is the potential for clean sheets as well as attacking returns for him. So he could be a nice option. Everyone else I'm looking at thinking, I'm not inspired.
Interesting. Well, I'll tell you what, if Kane's fixtures weren't quite so good in the next two or three, I would be absolutely looking at Kane to Vardy. That's three consecutive blanks now for Kane. Then. Well, I know that you won't be looking at that, but with those fixtures, Fulham, Leeds and Aston Villa away, I can't sell Kane. You can't sell Kane ahead of those, particularly that Leeds game in particular. I think it's got the potential to be a massacre for Kane and co on the break there. But I do like the look of Leicester. I like that run of fixtures. And I think Vardy's definitely one you guys should be having a look at. You guys are saying I've missed a super chat, so let's go back. David James Whiteway. Thank you, David, for the super chat. No Salah, no problem. 72 points, David. Well done this week, mate. In other weeks, that would have been a problem. If you didn't have him for the Crystal Palace game, that would have been a problem. And next week, it again, might be a problem, mate. But well done. You did escape not having Salah this week, so fair play.
Weird, because I was saying to you, wasn't I, when we were watching Spurs, there was a stat that popped up on my Instagram or somewhere, and it was like, Salah's only blanked twice this season at home to West Brom and at home to Sheffield United. And you think, of all of the games, like, what is it about those? And I think he just, I don't know, he was so we'll talk about them later, but he was just so ineffective today. But he won't be next week is my point, because apart from those two games, he's been, we talk about Bruno as consistent, Salah is.
He is, absolutely. A super chat from George Malay Ill. Thank you, George, for the super chat. Merry Christmas, he says. Merry Christmas, George. Sold Watkins, Suchek and Martinez on the bench. Sold Watkins, Suchek and Martinez on the bench. Thoughts on Robbo versus Trent? We will be covering the Liverpool defence when we get to the Liverpool game. But that's a tough beat there, George, if you sold Watkins and then bench Suchek and Martinez.
That's a rock with this move candidate, if I've ever heard of one.
Martinez just popping off points left, right and centre like you wouldn't believe. I have to say, just to finish up on Leicester Man U, I disagree with you. I think Leicester are absolutely worth looking at, and I do think Jamie Vardy, ahead of those fixtures, which are, let's say them again, Crystal Palace and Newcastle away, and then a double home to Southampton and Chelsea, I think he looks very, very investable ahead of those two, and perhaps we'll talk about him a bit more after the Crystal Palace game. Depending on how he performs. Let's look elsewhere. Arsenal 3, Chelsea 1 was a result that none of us were expecting, Sam, to be honest with you. I did expect, and I did put a tweet out there before the game saying, look at the Arsenal first 11, look at the Chelsea first 11, and actually I fancied Chelsea to do them no problem at all. First of all, let's deal with, before we get to Arsenal, who, by the way, if you go to Fantasy Football Scout and sort the ticker by fixture difficulty, Arsenal now at the top with Brighton, West Brom, Palace and Newcastle up next. So maybe Saka and maybe some others worthy of investment. But talk me through Frank Lampard and his trolling, first and foremost. Chilwell out for 2 weeks. Reece James out for a little while.
They
managing an injury.
They should have been out for 2 weeks. Did you see them?
Well,
they
backfired.
They were not ready.
It backfired, didn't it?
And what I loved, and sorry Chelsea fans, sorry Tips if you're in, I'm sure you are. Chelsea tweeted, didn't they? Something about Chilwell with a comment, oops, and the
well, I think official
hiding.
FPL said Chilwell starts, yeah. And then they went, oops,
yeah. And you think they weren't ready. You could tell.
Was it just Frank being crap at mind games, or what was that all about?
I think he needed them. Genuinely think he thought, if there's any chance that they can play, they play.
Because they are so fundamentally important to the system, the fullbacks.
Yes.
That when they don't play, it changes the dynamic of the team completely. But he should not have risked them, is the point.
No,
and now you've
not.
Got Reece James, who even Frank Lampard came out before the game, and he said a couple of comments which would worry me if I was a Chelsea fan. One was, Reece James, there's something there, but we're managing it. That's a problem if I'm a Reece James owner. The second thing is, Ben Chilwell's got a swollen ankle. He's in a bit of pain, but everyone plays in a bit of pain. And he sort of chuckled as he said that. That's a concern for me.
Well, the thing is, I think... And I might be wrong because, you know, I'm not a football manager. But for me, if we'd have been in a normal season or at any other point in a season where we didn't have this quick fixture changes, he probably would have had time in training to work on how that system can work without Reece James and Chilwell. And they probably wouldn't have been risked. But at this point in the season, when we had Christmas between their game week finishing and the next game, which was on Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was not a lot of time for them to get ready to play in a totally different formation. And let's be honest, if you're going to play Emerson and Aspilicueta, you're going to be playing totally different to how you would normally play with Reece James and Chilwell. And so I think with Lampard, I think you could say it was bad trolling, but I don't think it was. I think genuinely they're not fit and they weren't really ready, but he needed them. But it backfired because actually Arsenal were really good. Because Chelsea were really poor.
Yeah, Chelsea, I don't think he seems to be still getting the best out of those attacking options that he's got, Frank Lampard. And I still don't think I would go out there and say, well, I definitely want to get a Werner or a Havertz or a Pulisic, for example, who hasn't really come back and hit the ground running. Their attacking threat, I mean, those two guys, Chilwell and Reece James, they are key to the way that Chelsea play and their attacking threat. And without them, they do change completely. Yeah. I think Frank got it massively wrong. And I do think if you look at the goals that are spread across that Chelsea team, they've got more goals from their defenders than any other Premier League team. So if that starts to dry up, has Frank then got a bit of a problem? Just briefly, because I want to get to Arsenal.
Yeah, I think so. I think he has. But I also don't think they're going to play in game week 16. Because I can't see how we can play them. They clearly weren't ready for game week 15. They are not going to be ready for a game. When do they play? Tomorrow?
Could be, yeah, in the next couple of days. I'm not sure where it is. But Chelsea, they are at home to Aston Villa. Now, Aston Villa are in good, good form right now. So that is now a very difficult game for Chelsea at Stamford Bridge. Let's
tomorrow,
see what you guys are
ready.
Saying about this. Scott Schrager, thank you, Scott. Hey, how are you doing? Pulisic needs to play on the left. Yes, absolutely. I don't know why he's not. It's crazy. Let's see what else you guys are saying. Thomas Burkhan is saying Kane to Abraham, not on the basis of what we've just seen. Thomas, I wouldn't suggest getting Tammy Abraham in. He did look reasonably lively, but again, it just wasn't good enough from a Chelsea perspective. Bossman 525, Havertz looks lazy and not built for the Premier League. He does look a bit of a luxury player at the moment. He really does. And Werner, couldn't hit a barn door at the minute, Werner.
No.
Unbelievable. Arsenal then. We spoke about the fixture ticker. Brighton, West Brom, Palace and Newcastle up next. Now, they do play an 18. They don't have a double game week, Arsenal. But with those fixtures, maybe we should be having a look at some of these younger players coming through from Arsenal. Now, what Arteta was kind of forced into doing because of injuries or suspensions or this illness that Luis and Willian had at the weekend, just ill. It's like, come on, you're playing against your old clubs here. You should just get over it.
No,
don't be ill and just play.
I don't normally stick up for Arsenal, and I might be wrong here, but I'm pretty sure that their illness meant that they, on the COVID rules, they can't play.
Oh, right, okay. Okay, fair enough.
So I don't think it was that they're ill and then they're just, you know, oh, I've got a sniffle. I think it's that the symptom that they had meant they were not allowed to
play. They couldn't be part of the game. Okay, fair
COVID
enough.
Rules.
All right, well, I'll give them a pass on that one. But nevertheless, Arteta was kind of therefore forced to play a lot of youngsters.
Yeah.
Young Smith Rowe came in, played very, very well. Of course, Saka, I thought, and it's not the first time I've thought this, actually, about Saka this season. Despite all of the guff around him at Arsenal, he takes the game by the scruff of the neck sometimes for a player that's so young in years, really gets stuck in a lot of the time. Played very, very well at the weekend. Is he an option now in FPL?
It's hard, isn't it? Because I think so many of us at the moment are geared up. And it's one thing we always say is that don't be so geared towards a plan for the double and that you neglect players that are about to do something good in this moment. For the sake of a moment in the future, which may or may not work in your favour. And so for me, it's hard because this is the first game of the season where I've actually seen Arsenal play well. and thought, maybe. Brighton, I also thought, who they're going to play against, I thought were much, much better today. So we'll be interesting to watch Arsenal play against Brighton, I think, before making any decisions. But I certainly think they've become reasonably nice options for game week 18 when they do play.
Okay. All right. We've had a super chat from James Ward. James says, is it time for Frank to go, Lee? No, it's not. No, it's not, in my opinion. No, they've got to give him time.
They've got to give him time.
And listen, he started the season very, very well. And all right, he's got to get a tune out of those players. And I thought by now he would start to get them. But a lot of those players have been in that team. Pulisic fit, not fit. Havertz fit, not fit. He does need to get Werner going. No doubt about it. He does need to get Werner going. And I don't think he or they know what Werner's best position is yet. And I still think he doesn't know whether Tammy Abraham or Giroud is the right player to play up there with him, if at all any player should be playing with him.
I don't know why he didn't bring
Giroud on. It's not time for Frank to go. No, I think they need to stand by him. Let's move on. Let's go to... let's talk about Dominic Calvert-Lewin then, very briefly. Sheffield United 0, Everton 1. So Sigurdsson with the goal, Doucouré with the assist. So from an FPL perspective, not a hell of a lot to shout about in that game, other than a blank for Dominic Calvert-Lewin. So what now are we thinking with Dominic Calvert-Lewin? We went on the FPL show last week. We said, all right, he's ticking over some assists. They're fairly fortuitous assists. But he's not banging anywhere near the amount of goals that he was at the beginning of the season. One in his last five, maybe six games now. That is starting to look like a problem for me. Is James coming back? Is he not? It's kind of uncertain. Sigurdsson is okay in terms of his set-piece delivery. That's why he's in the team. But he really slows that team down, Sigurdsson. And all right, Seamus Coleman is coming back at right-back, but still no sign of Digne clearly at left-back, which is a key... that's a key delivery source of deliveries for Calvert-Lewin on that side. So as a Calvert-Lewin owner, I'm starting to get a little bit worried about him in my team. I'm starting to look at some of the other assets in that bracket, Bamford, and thinking I want the downgrade. How are you feeling about Dominic Calvert-Lewin?
It's hard. It's a tricky one because that game was so uninspiring. It was so awful.
Everton were uninspiring. No
doubt.
It was
awful to watch. Yeah,
but Sheffield United, I mean, they've been awful to watch. I mean, the game against West Ham was probably the worst game I've seen this season. This weren't much better. And I must admit, Everton, again, without Richarlison, they lack pace and they lack any sort of threat in behind. He's going through the concussion protocol, so we will miss the next game.
He misses but then the next I think one he's, as well.
Yeah, because it's coming around too soon for him. But then I think he probably is back for West Ham, which actually in 17, West Ham is not a bad game, actually. The fixtures don't look too bad after the Man City game. But I have to say, I'm looking at Dominic Calvert-Lewin thinking he ain't scoring at the minute. Coming up against that Man City defence, which looks pretty good, looks pretty tight, I'm not fancying him right now, Dominic Calvert-Lewin. His ownership scares me, but I don't want that to influence my decision.
It's a tough one because he also doesn't have a double.
Yeah.
So it is a tough one because the reality is he probably is expendable at this point, but I'm not sure how comfortable I feel taking him out even ahead of a game against Manchester City.
The problem with it is, it's the game after that. West Ham at home, Wolves away. They look pretty good.
But the thing
good.
Is, you can get him back for Wolves away anyway, because that's you in could, the single. If you're free hitting, yeah. You can have him for that anyway. So really, you're talking about missing out on that West Ham game. Now, depending upon which West Ham team we see, because the West Ham team that we saw today, Dominic Calvert-Lewin can have a field day with them. If we see the West Ham team that we have been seeing, that's tough.
Yeah.
So it is a challenge to know what is the right thing to do, because I feel like I own Dominic Calvert-Lewin to cover everyone else who owns Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
That's it. Yeah, that's what I mean. It's the ownership that makes you fearful of selling him, doesn't it? Because you know the minute you sell him, he comes up with a goal or two. But
and it's hard to get him back.
At the moment, I feel like I'm really missing out by not having Bamford.
Yeah, see, I've got Bamford.
And it's like, well, you know, I don't know. Sheffield United, nothing really to discuss there other than they are doomed. I feel for some of the players in that team, especially Brewster, who I think went there on the promise of, you know, a lot of game time, at least some creativity behind him, but he's just not getting it, is it? It's just not happening.
Look at that team and go, where's the creativity that they're promising me actually coming from?
The midfield three is just nowhere near good
enough. There's no creativity
there. It's nowhere near good enough. Let's move to Sunday. Let's talk about Leeds 1, Burnley 0. So the Leeds goal actually living a bit of a charmed life in that second half. Burnley really well. I don't know what I said to them at half time, but they did half wake up in the second half and started peppering that goal.
To be fair, They should have scored. That goal that got disallowed.
On the 18th minute, it looked like a goal, didn't
I
it?
I have no idea how that is a foul on the keeper. The keeper knees him in the back.
Yeah.
Outrageous. If anything, if it's not a goal, it's a penalty.
Yeah, I kind of wasn't impressed at all with Meslier through that game. And now that's going to sound stupid because anyone that's got Meslier will tell you quite openly they got double-digit haul, didn't he, this week? So happy days. Meslier owners, if you've got him, fair play. Was not impressed with him at all. I thought he looked shaky. He didn't look good on crosses. Burnley were physical with him, and I don't think that suited him, getting in and around him on set pieces. So, yeah, Burnley could easily have got something out of this game. But listen, Bamford pops up with the goal, a fairly early goal, but not only a goal, a penalty. A penalty
and
for Bamford,
on them now,
which
said.
Is a game changer.
Yeah.
As a Bamford non-owner, that is a game changer for me because I was really on the cusp of thinking, I'm really missing out on this guy. All right, I get the rhetoric, he's wasteful, but he does get a lot of goals. Now he's on penalties and the fixtures are nice and there's a nice double. I think it's a bit of a no-brainer now. I think Bamford, it looks pretty nailed on in your team.
I was pleased to have Bamford anyway before today's game because the fixtures are nice. I was happy to own him with the double coming up. And then there was a penalty and I was like, oh, I hope Bamford won it. And then he was taking it. And I was like,
crazy,
sorry, what's happening now? Yeah, Bamford's taking it. Why? Why is it not clicked? But then at the end of the game, manager did say that Bamford is now on penalties. He is their penalty taker. So that is lovely. As a Bamford owner, this is like a gift now. Because
totally.
Now we've got a whole...
Just a Brucey bonus, right?
Got a whole other way into points that we didn't have previously. So I'm really happy to own Bamford. And I think if you don't own Bamford now, he is getting to that point at his price point of being a really irritating not own. Because he's just ticking him over.
West Brom next, then it's the Spurs game, which I think will be a lot like the Man United game.
I think there's goals in that game.
I might be wrong, but I think there's goals. Then it's the blank, so you can have him, not have him, it's up to you. And then he comes back from the blank with a double, Brighton and Southampton at home. I mean, yikes, come on, you've got to have him. A super chat from David Jones. Thank you, David. So lucky this game week, he says. Struick, if that's how you say his name, 3.9 million with 8 points comes off. My third bench slot for Vestergaard. Boom. Yes, a nice one. There's
that
jam.
Nice.
And there's proper jam. I like that. Really, really good, David. That is jammy, mate. I like that. So Leeds, yes, they got the 1-0 win. Could easily have dropped points. But if you're going to go for one, I think it's Bamford. If you were going to go for two...
Rafinha!
You've been on about this guy for a few weeks now. When are you going to start put your money where your mouth is and get this guy? Looks good, doesn't he?
He does, but I can't really get to him. I'd have to take Suchik out.
Okay.
Can't really do that, can I? Keeps right. getting 10-point hauls.
Grealish to Rafinha, would that be on for you?
Yes! Yes, absolutely it would. Why would it not be on for you? You absolute lunatic. Just do it.
You can't get rid of Jackie Grealish. You just can't.
Of course you can. You know what you do? You go in the app and you go to transfers. You click on Grealish's name.
No,
you click on Rafinha's name and you say, are you sure? Yes. Bye-bye, Jack.
I'm not having it. Let's talk about the tactical masterclass from Big Sam. We had a bit of Big Sam bounce at Anfield today. Liverpool 1, West Brom 1, which was a shocker of a result if you're a Liverpool fan or if you own Salah in FPL or indeed if you captained or triple-captained Mo Salah. It was not his day. They did not allow him that space in behind. They didn't allow him to play. They cut off the supply line from Trent and from Henderson. West Brom came with a plan, with a bus, and they executed it perfectly.
It wasn't a bus. It was a blooming great tank.
But it was the plan. That was the game plan. And to be fair, he's got a point, which at the end of the season might count for a lot.
Do you know what was really interesting about this game? Is that he played this 10, and I said to you, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes into the game, if you could get one or two, the game will open up because they will have to play you then. They can't just keep sitting back.
Yeah.
But they defended really well and you just never got to the point where they had to open up. And then
Matip makes a great save, didn't he, at the end, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, Johnson, great save.
And then Matip gets injured. And at that moment, the game changed. And suddenly they were all about getting somebody to go on the attack. And you saw it from Colin Grant.
Liverpool had the warnings, didn't they? Colin Grant was in behind young Williams there, who kind of outpaced him, Colin Grant.
Yeah.
He's quick, but he's not the quickest.
No.
And it was, and he got in there. So listen, it was an off day for Liverpool, no doubt. Immediately went onto Twitter and saw a lot of, what about Salah now? What about Salah? And
no, nothing about Salah.
Nothing. I think, listen, we're not going to come up against defences that play 10 men behind the ball like that and play like that every single week. We've got to go away to Newcastle next. And don't forget, Liverpool's double is Man U and Burnley at home, which is a pretty nice looking double. I myself am looking at triple captain in Salah in that double game week. We had a super chat earlier about Trent versus Robbo. Give me your view on the Liverpool fullbacks then. Two pointers for each of them today. In terms of eye test for me, I certainly felt like Robbo was the one that was attacking more and getting into those more dangerous areas.
We disagree on this though, because I really feel like if I was going to invest in the Liverpool defence premium bracket,
which you were obviously not sure about doing, having brought in Matip this week.
No, I was sure about doing, but I just can't do it. Budget restrictions and the way that my team is set up means I really struggle to get back to owning Trent.
To one of those guys,
And I do want Trent over Robertson. I feel like in that game, there was a bit more joy coming from Robbo's side. But I think that was just the way that West Brom wanted you to go down the Robertson side. That's where they had all of them. They were encouraging the ball to go down that side as opposed to the other way. But I think in normal games, it will be more even. Trent's obviously on set pieces, which I like. We all know what he can do from a set piece when he puts his mind to it. I just worry, to be honest. So I was happy to invest in the Liverpool defence whilst Matip was there. Depending upon this injury now, if you're always playing Nat Phillips or Reece Williams,
yeah,
in the middle, if you're going to play out, West Brom were getting opportunities against him. That would concern me about the clean sheet sticking, because I think at that premium price point, you're going to want, you want your clean sheets to
stick. You want Matip and Fabinho with them.
Yeah, because you want the clean sheets there as well as you want the attacking returns. And I fear that Robbo and Trent may be limited in their attacking returns because they're going to have to help with the defence, because without Matip there as well, if he's out longer term, and Klopp was a bit, we don't know anything yet.
No.
But
if it's his abductor muscle, that's a few weeks.
Of course.
That's a few weeks again. And it's like, the thing with it is, you can't, as a Liverpool fan, you can't even get mad at it, because you know Matip, particularly over Christmas, you know he's getting injured. It's coming, the injury. And it's just a shame that, you know, we're now down to, that's our three most senior centre-halves out now, long-term as well. Van Dijk, probably the season, Gomez the season, and now you've got Matip out for a few months. So Fabinho has done a really good job there. But again, as we've said before, you now miss him in CDM, right? You miss him in CDM. Super chat from Azzy. He's saying Brownhill has now had more shots in December than Son. So Danny McDonald then pops up with, is Brownhill essential? And Liam Healy, it's all the slackers. Josh Brownhill, what a baller. Guys, okay. All right, we'll give you that. Ginesh is saying Trent looks nervous. Okay, I don't know if I'd say he looks nervous, but hasn't quite got his eye in, certainly from those free kicks yet either. Still struggling to get back to the Trent we saw last season since his injury at the beginning of this season. That calf muscle, I don't think it's still giving him any jip, but he's still struggling to get up to speed, I think, a little bit. But anyway, from a Liverpool perspective, we know what the fixtures look like. We know it still looks pretty good. Are you happy with just Salah? And obviously, you've got to do a transfer now for Matip. Are you thinking to bring in any other Liverpool assets to go with Salah?
No. So I was quite happy. I was quite happy to own Matip and Salah for the double and moving forward. I thought, right, the two of them together are fine. If Weetabix Eggs does what Weetabix Eggs does, then I'll look to move him on. But I was quite happy to own him for the length of time that I got out of him. I'm not at the moment happy to spend 7.2 or 7.3, depending upon Trent or Robbo, until I'm sure that the clean sheets are going to stick. Because for me, at that price point, you know, Suchek's a million, 2.3 cheaper, and he gets attacking returns. Now, I don't feel like I want to spend that level of investment at the back unless the clean sheets are there as well. And okay, I worry that they might not be without Matip as well now.
All right, okay, let's have a quick chat about Man City 2, Newcastle 0, because we have to address the Kevin De Bruyne issue. This is not an issue that neither of us has, actually, in our FPL teams. But if you're an FPL manager out there and you do own Kevin De Bruyne, I'd like to know in the live chat now or in the comments, if you're watching the replay, what are you going to do with Kevin De Bruyne? Because as the thumbnail says, it is now time that we need to talk about Kevin. Because they are, and I say they rather than he, because in recent weeks, his performances and his underlying stats have been very, very good. Fast forward to this week, I think they were okay. again, but I don't think he set the world alight. And he missed a one-on-one where if he tucks that away, then it's a goal and potentially some bonus points. And maybe we don't need to talk about Kevin.
I think we still would need to talk about Kevin.
Do you think?
Because
he's just not explosive enough for that money, is
he? No, exactly.
At the moment.
Exactly. And I think that's my issue with him, is that at that price, you're talking about a lot more than Son. You're talking about a lot more than Kane. You're talking about not that much, not much less than Salah. You're talking about a lot more than Bruno. At that price, I want him to score at least a goal every week or at least a couple of assists every week. But the way Manchester City are playing at the moment, even against one of the poorest sides in the league at the moment, because they're still suffering, bless them, with the COVID stuff that's been going on, with Lascelles still out and Maximan still out, they're suffering. So against a Newcastle side in that form, that Manchester City side should be putting away...
Hey, listen, City were suffering from their own COVID issues with Walker and Jesus and others, right?
But their squad can
should
cope
be dealing
with that.
Yeah,
they
okay,
can
fair enough.
Losing Kyle Walker and who else did they lose?
Jesus had COVID, right? Yeah.
Okay, Jesus is a bit more of an issue because of the striker thing. But they should be able to deal with that with the squad that they have in the way that they have it. My issue with Manchester City right now is that they are not scoring enough goals. And the problem with that is that Kevin, his fantasy appeal is that he's always involved in the goals. The others share the goals, but he's always the assist guy. Now, at the moment, no one else is getting any goals, which means he can't possibly get any assists. Mm. And that, for me, as hard as it is to say, makes Kevin a non-asset right now.
All right, let's see what you guys are saying in the live chat. MZ Ludo is in. He's saying KDB or Grealish, who to take out first? So he's had enough of both of them, quite frankly.
Minus eight.
Alex Young is in. He's saying keep. Aguero is back, and that makes KDB a better asset. Jacob 17, look at KDB's fixtures after double game week 19. They look sensational.
Yeah, but you can't
do
that.
Let's see what else other people are saying. Kevin to Sterling, done, Maurice Molito is saying. Done Kevin De Bruyne to Sterling already. Mick Lustmetz is in. KDB is world class. They need an Aguero replacement. KDB is not the issue. It's their forward line that's difficult. Nerd is in. KDB is playing too deep. Marcus is in saying hold KDB. Paul Cartwright, KDB looks knackered. I must admit, the live chat is kind of split, Sam, to be honest with you. I would say they're probably leaning more towards selling from what I can see in the live chat, but it's not quite the mass exodus that I thought then it might be. Another player that I do want to talk about in this game was Cancelo. So now he's in my team, picked up a couple of bonus points, got booked right near the end, which was disappointing to say the least, but still popped up with 7-pointer. I looked at his heat maps for the game. He ain't playing at right back. When he plays at left back, he sticks a little bit more to his position. He's a bit more like what you'd think a left back would look like. But at right back, he doesn't give a damn. He's up and down, middle, and he's attacking. He's left, right and centre. He looked like a really good FPL asset. And on another day, could have had some FPL points.
And that's all well and good whilst Manchester City have got Kyle Walker out with COVID. But the reality is his spot is a lot more rotationable. That's not a right
rotatable.
Word. Rotatable. It is a lot more rotatable. And therefore, he will likely miss some games that you want him to play.
So what do you make of Pep's comments after the game about this guy?
Don't ever trust Pep what he says. Surely you've learnt that.
So Pep's comments after the game where he recovers really well, his replenishment is really good, if that's the right phrase that he used. He could play tomorrow, I think was the word that he used.
Yeah, do you believe him?
I do, yeah, with Cancelo.
At the moment,
yeah, I do.
At the moment, you do, because COVID's got Kyle Walker out. Will he play him on New Year's Day? Who knows? It's
okay.
Pep.
Right.
He has this. He says these things. And I think the thing that gets me with Cancelo, look, I think the Manchester City defenders are all good options. I don't think there's a bad option. And I think you just have to run the risk that he misses a game every now and then. Because he will, because it's Pep.
Okay.
Same with Diaz.
Jake Sanchez in. Cancelo could have had at least two assists if Manchester City were clinical. Yeah, and I think that's the point, isn't it? They're not at the minute. That's the problem. Dread FPO, I love Cancelo. I must admit, I enjoyed that game as a watch. Being a Cancelo owner, I was watching him thinking, this guy looks like he has all the attributes of a good FPL asset that you would want. other than the FPL points. Danny McDonald, Cancelo started 10 out of the last 11, so it does seem to be a Pep favourite. And Dow's 247, Cancelo is the best player in the back line of Man City. I do agree with you right now. He does look really, really good. I'm happy to hold. I'm very happy to keep him. No thoughts to sell him at this moment in time. So Cancelo, a happy hold for me ahead of some reasonable looking fixtures for Man City. But I would like his teammates to be a bit more clinical in front of goal. FPL tips with the super chat. Hey Harry, how are you doing? Merry Christmas both of you. He says Merry Christmas Harry, hope you had a good run mate, hope you did well. Be interested in your thoughts in the live chat mate about Chelsea, what's going on there? I know you're
don't
a bit late to the live stream
him.
We've covered Chelsea, so a lot of people had, we had a super chat earlier, is it time for Frank to go? I said no. Tips, would love to get your opinion on that. Sam, before we look ahead to game week 16, let's have a quick chat about Wolves 1, Spurs 1. Now, we said at the beginning of the live stream, are we seeing a bit of a worrying pattern now with the way that Spurs are setting up in games? Crystal Palace, you look to hold on to that 1-0. Today, you look to hold on to that 1-0. And at Anfield, you look to hold on to the 1-1. And each time, you got bitten by a late goal.
I think
is that a worrying pattern now?
Maybe. I think we do it away from home more than we do it at home. And I don't necessarily think that it's a bad thing. But I just don't think we're quite there yet in being able to do that for... And today, it would literally do it for 93 minutes. I don't think we're in quite a place where we can hold 1-0 for 93 minutes. Is it becoming a worrying pattern? Maybe, maybe. I mean, it certainly seems to have been at the moment.
Yeah.
But will it continue? I don't think so, is my honest answer. Because I think now, having come out of this, like... weird little period that we've been in with the draw with Crystal Palace, then losing to Leicester and Liverpool, and then a draw again against Wolves. We're coming into a fixture run, which you would hope, starting with the Fulham game, that Mourinho will go into that with a bit of a different approach. I think it needs a different approach. I think he tried to...
Has he regressed to the Mourinho mean, though? Because we had the first few games. Spurs were incredible. We all knew it. We had Son and Kane in our team. Fantastic. And then there was a period of games where the fixtures were difficult, but Spurs got results. And as Kane and Son owned, as we sat and we went, wow, that's great, because they've scored points for our teams. But we had, what, the Son worldie. We had a, you know, maybe a Kane flicked header against West Brom, where it was, you know, both of them, neither of them had great underlying stats. Are we starting to see, actually, that, you know, the stats don't lie over a long period of time? And today, I must admit, watching Spurs, it was a difficult watch. I have to tell you, it was a difficult watch because I don't think they were playing with quite the same verve that they were playing with the beginning of the season.
My view is that Suns had a really bad few games, is my honest response to that. I think Son has played particularly poorly in the last three matches against Liverpool. It already got the goal, but I thought he played badly. I thought he was terrible against Leicester, and I thought he was pretty diabolical today again. I think Kane is still doing the things. If you watch Kane today versus Kane in game week 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, when he was hitting high notes, he is exactly the same. He's doing the same thing. He's in the same places. His heat maps are identical. But Son has dropped off. And as a result of Son dropping off, it does limit... They're so intertwined, those two, and the way that they are gelled means that if one of them doesn't perform, it is having a knock-on effect on the other.
All right, a super chat from Yash Iyer. Thank you, Yash, for the super chat. Is this a good bench boost team, Sam? Let's take a quick time out and look at this bench boost team. Martinez, McCarthy.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Dallas, Zuma, Robertson, Cancelo, Koufal. Yes, nothing wrong with that whatsoever. Grealish, Fernandes, Salah, Rashford, Suchek.
What the hell is Grealish in there for?
You really don't rate Grealish. And then Calvert-Lewin, Bamford and Adams. I'm assuming, Yash, that is your bench boost team for the upcoming double game week rather than the game week coming
Bamford
up.
Bamford and Adams.
Adams, Bamford and Calvert-Lewin. That all sounds absolutely fine to me. But a lot can happen between now and the double game week.
Yeah.
But for now, that seems absolutely fine. I also want to address another question.
And Zuma, I'd worry about if Chilwell and Reece James do actually miss out on some games. I'd worry about owning Zuma.
Yeah, absolutely true. FPL Geordie with a really good question. Would love Sam's opinion. And here is the opinion, Sam, that I think a lot of us want. Buy Spurs assets ahead of Fulham and Leeds or do without. Now, listen, you would typically, I think, an FPL Geordie, I'm sure, will be doing the same thing. Looking at Fulham and Leeds at home and going, that's a double up. Kane and Son double up. But from what we've seen in the last few weeks, I'm not sure that it is. I'll give my view on what I'm doing with them in a second, but what are you doing?
Well, I'm going to hold them both because I don't think you can sell them ahead of this nice run of fixtures. Would I buy? I wouldn't buy them both at the moment, but I would buy Kane because I think right. that, I think what you'll find is that Kane will end up in the right sort of areas in these fixtures, and he will just nick a goal. I think Son's form. Son is playing like a guy who needs a rest. Is my honest view.
Yeah.
I feel like he's, and he's had them as well, which is the worrying thing. He's missed out on cup matches to have a rest.
Yeah.
So if it was, if you didn't own either and you wanted a Spurs asset to get you through the next few weeks, I'd buy Kane.
He looked pretty ineffective tonight though, Kane. Apart from a dive at the end where he tried to get a penalty.
Oh, shut up.
He didn't, he just didn't look, he looked well off it, Harry Kane.
Just fell over it, don't dive. It's Kane. No, I don't think he did look well off it. I think, watch it again.
All right.
With and watch Son, and I think you'll find that a lot of the balls that Kane was putting through, had Son actually been doing what he was doing a few weeks ago, there'd have been assists and there'd have been points okay. for Kane tonight.
All right, I'll tell you my Spurs strategy in just a second because I have both of them as well. A super chat from John Tyner. Sam, which keeper would you start next week, Martinez or McCarthy? Now Martinez is away at Chelsea, which actually, on paper a few weeks ago, would have looked very difficult, but Chelsea just starting to labour a little bit. So, and we know what Martinez is like, double-digit hauls for breakfast, right? Or McCarthy, Saints at home to West Ham.
Well,
quickly answer that one, because we've got to get on to the Spurs strategy.
I'd play McCarthy, because West Ham were diabolical today.
Didn't look great, did they, West Ham?
They were awful. And actually,
too much turkey on Christmas Day for West Ham.
Certainly too much something on Christmas Day. They were terrible today, and the scoreline flatters them. No end, because Brighton should have won that game, in my opinion.
All right. So here
so
is
play McCarthy.
So here is my Spurs strategy. I am with you. I'm not going to sell either of them ahead of Fulham versus Leeds. I think so, at the Fulham game, I have a bit of a concern about. Because again, if you go into that game and something stupid like tonight and Ndombele scores within 10 seconds, we again, I think, are going to get a difficult, boring Mourinho, let's try and see it out Fulham game. The Leeds game is the one where I want to double up on Kane and Son. And having held them through this slightly barren period, I do think that Leeds game has got the potential, like it was at Old Trafford, to have a few goals. So I do want them for that. Whether I'm going to have them for the Aston Villa fixture in 18, I probably will, because there's not that many teams playing in 18. So my free hit will have Son and or Kane, I'm sure. But then going into the double game week, I don't think I'm going to have Harry Kane. I think I'm going to have Vardy for the double game week. Because I look at those two fixtures
for
Vardy.
Have you listened to what I just said?
I absolutely have done. And of course, I've got to see what happens within Fulham and Leeds. But if Kane comes out of that Fulham, Leeds, Aston Villa run with, you know, and doesn't look quite right as he hasn't done in the last few fixtures,
you're
and Vardy starts to look better, then I will be looking at Vardy, Kane out for Vardy in that double.
Ahead of Sheffield United.
Absolutely, because I think that
and
double for Leicester. Yeah, listen, I'm just giving an opinion, Sam, okay?
And
I appreciate
hold Son. You hold
probably
Son.
Would hold Son. Yeah, probably would hold Son. But I listen, Kane out for Vardy. And the reason I would do that is because I don't think doing a Son, the equivalent move would be kind of Son to Madison, wouldn't it? And I don't feel that. But Kane to Vardy, I think, against those teams that will attack Leicester. I actually fancy Leicester for Crystal Palace and Newcastle away, but that double game week fixture looks all right for me for Vardy. And of course, Kane could do well against Sheffield United away, but if we get another fixture like we did tonight, where Spurs go in front early, which could happen against Sheffield United, you will not go for the jugular. You don't. Mourinho's not doing that at the minute. He's going, I'll get a goal and I will sit and try and protect what I've got. And if you get two, great. But he's really, really coming unstuck in the last periods of games at the moment. And that could happen in those games. So that might be a move that I look to make. So Wolves won, Spurs won. A couple of points dropped for Spurs. But listen, not looking to sell either Son or Kane ahead of Fulham and Leeds. Those fixtures look too good. You just can't. I don't think you can. And actually, from what I saw on Twitter, a lot of people thinking, I think I put something out there about, do you want, I can't sell ahead of these fixtures. A lot of people are like, no, you can't. I'm looking to bring them in ahead of these fixtures. But when you get to that double, because of that single game week, I think there's better options in the double game week. And I'm really looking at Vardy and Leicester for that double game week. So there we go, Sam. That is game week 15, done and dusted. Let's have a look at 16 in just a second. But we need to round up on game week 15 and take a look at our teams. Before we do that, let's have a quick manager of the month update for December. These were the scores before game week 15 started. Nicholas was at the top. Nicholas Chia with 294 points. Then some Muppet in second, who definitely won't be in second after this game week. And then Kevin Morrison in at 288 points for December. So listen, that top three there, still all to play for. Even behind Kevin, positions 4, 5, 6 were pretty close.
It was close, wasn't
it? Pretty close. So given that we've got quite a lot of FPL to play in December.
16, the last one?
Yeah,
because it's New Year's 16, Day then, isn't it?
And so is it the last game week is 16, I think, right?
Yes, because 17 starts on New Year's Day.
I think that's true. Let's have a look. So we've got 16, and then, yes, so game week 17 will be...
January.
The first game week of the new January Manager Month. So game week 16, the one coming up tomorrow, in fact, deadline 1:30, is the last game week for the Manager Month in December. It's actually felt like it's gone quite quick, given that there's been 5 or 6 game weeks.
It's been mental.
But anyway, Nicholas is the guy to beat. Nicholas Chia at the top with 294.
What you got this week?
I will, of course, very, very quickly, probably tomorrow morning, be totting up everybody's scores from this game week, chucking it in the spreadsheet, doing an update and getting
good
a
job
graphic
it's a bank
together.
Holiday, isn't it?
Good job it's a bank holiday, because I need to update the spreadsheet and get it out to you guys over on Patreon. If you want to check us out on Patreon, if you want to take part in the January Manager Month competition and win all great prizes, like the things from Kicking the Balls that you can see on the wall there, and then think about taking part in our January Manager of the Month competition, patreon.com/FPL family. Links are in the description below. Don't do it now, guys, because you'll be charged for December and there's only a few days left in December. But on January the 1st, starts the new year. If you'd love to come and support us over on Patreon, we'd love you to do that. There's all sorts of tiers you can get involved with. I've got my little graphic here. Hold on. Here we go. If you want to just come by, drop by and say thanks. Thanks for the work you do. Thanks for the podcast. Thanks for the live streams, etc. That would be great. And you want to donate at the $3 tier, then crack on with that. Bonus podcast and Slack community access. If you want to get involved with our Manager of the Month competition, which we track on every single live stream, and get involved with the monthly competitions that I mentioned before that Nicholas is currently in pole position to win, then it's $5 a month. And if you want to go that extra step, if you want to go for the one-to-one Zoom sessions with either Sam or I to talk about your FPL team for any given game week, particularly now we're coming up to the blanks, the doubles, the second wildcard is active. Any of you Zoom-level patrons that want to do those calls with us, get those requests in. Come and DM me on Patreon, DM me on Slack, or just give me a shout out in the YouTube comments. We will find that comment and we'll contact you and we'll get that Zoom session set up one-to-one ready for the upcoming game week. So there we go. That is the Manager of the Month update, Sam. Let's get to our teams. Here is your team for the week. 61
points.
Wait.
Well, don't we normally go with who's come last?
We do, actually.
Shut up.
We do. We do.
I beat you.
All right. Okay, here we go. Honestly, I went to you first because I talked for a lot then and I wanted a little break. But it's okay. I will carry on talking, Sam.
You saved the best till last. In the last few weeks, you've been enjoying that.
I know, but I felt myself going hoarse. I wanted a drink, but no, I will carry on talking. Here is my team for the week, guys. It's pretty average, to be honest with you. It's pretty average. It would have been better had I played Souček and not Adams. That has killed me. There's no doubt about it. That has killed me. And obviously I've benched Dallas again because that is what I do. I bench
every
Dallas.
Week.
Every week I bench Dallas and he gets points.
But who would you have not played for him?
Well, this is it. I look around my team. I think, well, Cancelo was happy to play and actually did pretty well. Target, pretty happy to play him. And Kufal at home to Brighton. I mean, he was my transfer in this week. So I was obviously looking to play him.
I was interested that you still play Kufal because the news that his wife had just had a baby. Did you get that after or before?
I got that after.
Yeah, because I wonder.
It came a bit late to me. I wasn't on baby watch.
No,
I needed you there. You didn't come through for me.
I didn't know he was having a baby. I do know that Harry Kane's due a baby in the next 4 weeks.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's even more reason to transfer him out for the double. Jamie Vardy is having a party.
He is due
in that
a baby
double.
At some point in the next 4 weeks.
So there we go. Obviously, the benched points is obviously really disappointing. But again, I go back to what I always say about bench points, which is I feel like I'm on the right players. I mean, I've got Dallas in there coming up for these nice fixtures in the double game. I'm pretty sure at some stage I will actually play him and he will actually get me some points. Souček, again, what a legend, what a hero. I mean, he's looking now far less like a fifth midfielder, far more like I should be playing him most weeks.
It's hard though, isn't it? Because I think,
looks great.
You know, you look at your team, the way that... So it's easier in some ways for me to play him than it is for you because... You've got Jack Grealish stinking a hole in your team.
He's not stinking anything, Grealish. He's fine.
What did he get?
He got a 2-pointer. So, he could have had 10. He's fine.
So, but do you know what I mean? The way your team is set up with 4 midfielders, heavy hitters, it's very hard to play Souček because how are you going to bench?
I should be benching Che Adams, let's face it. I should be benching Che Adams. We've had a super chat from William Jones. Thank you, William, for the super chat. Hi, guys. Thoughts on this -8?
Ooh.
Sam, thoughts on this -8? Watkins, KDB and Matip out. So Watkins, KDB and Matip.
Mm.
Kane, Rafinha and Robertson in.
Oh, I do like that.
Well, of course you like it. It's got Kane in it.
I do like...
But it's got Rafinha in it as well. And it's got Liverpool defensive cover.
I don't know about... Do you want... I don't know if I'd take a minus eight for it, though.
It's hard to know for minus eight for that, is it? A minus eight. I don't know. Borderline, that's a yes for me, but it's borderline. That's really close. Because you've got Matip, who's a problem. Watkins and KDB aren't really problems, though, are they? That's the thing. Watkins has just come off the back of three assists and a really good performance.
He is crap, though.
He is crap. He can't finish his dinner, but he's just got an 11-pointer. Difficult, that one. Difficult, William. But I would just lean towards yes, but it's close. I think the swayer would be, are you captaining Kane? And if you're captaining Kane, then it's worth it. If you're bringing Kane in because you want to captain him, then I think it's worth it. And Rafinha's good for the fixtures and for the double. So I would just about lean to yes, William.
And Robbo does look nice for that new tough.
If that was a minus four, that's a yes, isn't it?
Oh, if it was a minus four, I'd say 100% do it. But it's the minus eight that really puts me off. I don't like minus eights.
So there we go. There's my team. The front line absolutely let me down. Absolutely shocking. Midfield, not that much better, except for Bruno Fernandes. Had I not bought him in a couple of weeks ago, this game it would have been really, really bad. Target and Cancelo at the back, very good. McCarthy between the sticks with six. Pretty good. We're happy with that. Although, I think a lot of other managers had either... If you didn't have McCarthy, a lot of managers have got Kyle Walker-Peters. And if you haven't got Target, you've got Martinez. Well, both Kyle Walker-Peters and Martinez both did very, very well. 8 and 10 points. So... The six and the six, listen, I'm not going to moan about it, but it feels like I've taken it as a bit of a backward step compared to some other managers. So overall, 46 points, it's fine. It's not great, it's fine. I'd say it's fine to bad, but I think in a week where there's a lot of captaincy fails, there's a lot of big hitters failing, the only real big hitter that went big was Fernandes, which I had. So if I'm going to have a bad week...
It was a good time for bad news.
It was a good time to have a bad week. And frankly, I've had about five or six good weeks. So it's about time that I had a red arrow. It is a red arrow. It's not a mind-blowing one. I've gone from 190k to 223k. It's not the end of the world. My team is in reasonable shape. I've got a couple of thoughts on transfers that I want to make, which I will do tonight, all being well.
One free, two frees.
I've got two free transfers, and I think I know what I'm going to do, and I'll get your thoughts on it and your thoughts, Sam, in just a second.
There we go.
But I do want to just finish up on 15 before we go to 16. Let's talk about your team. 61 points, very, very good indeed. 922 points altogether with 167k as an overall rank. So that slight dip that you had last week, we've gone back up to 167k this week. So it's good.
Yeah, it is. And it has, I must admit, it did feel like a nice game week. It was one of those where the double Southampton defence yet again paid off. And it always seems to. And not having an Aston Villa defender has been a problem. As much as I jest about Jack Grealish, not owning one of the defenders is problematic.
Is now the time, though?
No.
Chelsea, Man U, Spurs, Everton.
Exactly.
Single game win.
So in my head, I'm sort of now hoping that actually that run that Martinez and Target and all the others, you know, that... were racking up the points for Aston Villa. I'm hoping that is now done for me anyway for a couple of weeks, because that should mean that my defence... I feel like I'm always chasing Aston Villa defenders all the time. So the Southampton defence coming in was really nice. The move for Matip was good in the...
It was good. 7 points is not to be sniffed at.
And
right?
Could have easily been 11 stayed on for another 40 seconds. But obviously I would have had Chilwell instead of him. And I, in all likelihood, would have thought, oh, I'll play Chilwell, because if he doesn't play, he's not going to come on. So then my Suchet can come off the bench. So then he'd have come on for 1 pointer, which would have been awful. Or did he get even one? Did he get zero? Because he conceded three.
I'm not sure.
Might have got zero.
Sure.
The others are all good. Diaz, I'm happy to own him. All right, no bonus points this week, but did get them last week. And Creswell popping up with an assist. So at least he scored something. So the defenders did really well. It's just those big hitters, Salah, Son and Kane, not performing. But then both have really nice fixtures.
You're not getting rid of any of those?
No, not ahead of the fixtures that they've got in game week 16.
Okay, all right. Azzy with a good comment. He's saying Mings is banned now, by the way.
Yes, he is.
Even more reason to maybe have a look at getting out of Aston Villa. But if you've got Martinez, that would be a very, very hard sell if you ask me. Super chat from Nehal. Thank you, Nehal. Thoughts on 7 to 8 players in game week 18 and a triple captain in 19? Nothing wrong with that, Nehal. If that is your strategy, 7 to 8 players in game week 18 is okay. If you've still got the free hit, my advice would be play the free hit in 18. I don't think there's going to be a better time to play it than in game week 18. But 7 to 8 players is fine. And triple captain on game week 19 is okay, depending on who you're putting on. There's nothing in the super chat about who you're playing. But if you are looking at Salah, if you're looking at the Liverpool players, or Bruno, indeed.
Because Bruno's got two away games.
Indeed, two Bruno away games against what could be a pretty patched up Liverpool central defensive partnership. then yes, that doesn't look too bad for me at all. So there we go. 61 points, 167K overall. So pretty good. Pretty good week. Yeah. Green arrow, right?
Yeah.
Happy.
Yeah.
Happy. Okay, very good. All right, let's go back to the main page briefly, and let's go back to the game. So they start tomorrow, guys.
I can't quite fathom this. Take a deep breath.
We are going to go all over again as of tomorrow. As you mentioned before, Sam, the game week deadline for game week 16, losing track of game weeks, is tomorrow, Monday, 1:30 p.m. GMT. So my advice to you guys would be, think about what you want to do tonight. And if you feel inclined to do so, execute it tonight. Don't sleep on it. Just get it done. Get it done. There's going to be lots of rest and rotation, I suspect, in a lot of these games.
Do you think there will be?
I think quite possibly, yeah. Quite possibly. I think this is the game week, as well as a couple of, you know, around the blanks and the doubles, where your bench is really going to come into its own. I really do think we're going to see some rotation. Pick out a couple of games here, Sam, for us that you are interested in from an FPL perspective. Talk about Chelsea-Aston Villa for me then.
Do you know, that was the game I was going to pick out. Chelsea, I think I'm watching carefully now because obviously I don't have a Chelsea asset anymore because I sold Chilwell.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced we'll see Chilwell tomorrow. So I'm interested to see what happens with Chelsea and how they play if they don't play Chilwell and Reece James and what they look like and whether that as a strategy can work. Because obviously Chelsea are a team that I'm looking to target ahead of the double game week. But I can't for the life of me work out how you target Chelsea right now because of the injury issues that they've got at the back.
Yeah, how do you? That's the problem.
Yeah.
Zuma, maybe, because I've got a feeling that set pieces are going to be even more important to Chelsea going forward. So if I was looking at Chelsea at all, given that their style of play with the width and the attacking intent down the sides, I think is going to revert more to lend itself to set pieces. I think Mount, maybe, but I'm not like buzzing to get Mount. I'm not like I have to get
Mount
right now.
Always plays him as well.
He does get minutes. He does play, does take corners. Zuma does score corners, but I'm with you. I'm not looking at Frank's boys there, particularly against Aston Villa, who I think could do very, very well in this game.
Do you think they will? See, I
think they're playing Chelsea at a great time.
I do too, but I think not having Mings is big for them.
That is true.
I think going here without Mings is tough. I think we rarely see Ollie Watkins do anything back-to-back. So will he likely turn up against Chelsea? Who knows? What Chelsea team will we see? Can Aston Villa actually put in a plan for how to play against Chelsea when we all can't work out who's going to play from Chelsea? Can Dean Smith work out who's going to play against Chelsea? I think it's a really tough game to call, but for me...
He can't risk those fullbacks again, can
he? I don't think so. I think he will. But do you?
I do think that he will.
Wow.
I think they're so important to his system that I think he'll just play them.
I don't think he can.
I'll tell you what, if Frank plays them and Chilwell does an ankle and he's out for 2 or 3 months or something, he is going to get pelters, Frank Lampard. And I put a tweet out there the other day, or maybe over the weekend, that said the press have gone after Ollie big time, haven't they, this year? Because Man United this, Man United that, etc. You know, at the start of the season, they weren't that great. But listen, they are doing great now. And Frank Lampard, I think, has got largely a pass this season. But we are coming to probably the stickiest point of Frank Lampard's tenure right now. He's not getting the results. He can't get a tune out of his big money signings, big money signings that he spent in the summer.
Yeah, that's true.
And the key players in his fullback system are, inverted commas, injured. And he's coming up against the side in Aston Villa who have kept the most clean sheets in the Premier League and are playing very, very well indeed. I think that is a tough game for Frank Lampard. If they lose that at home with City after that, I think it's very difficult.
I mean, I'm intrigued by this Chelsea game. And when I sold Chilwell, it was on the basis that, one, I didn't think he was going to be fit for the Arsenal game. And that's the one I thought there might be a clean sheet in. Aston Villa, Manchester City, I don't see there being clean sheets for them in that game. And then you're back to relying on attacking returns. Are they even going to play? Will they play the same strategy? Will there be as many attacking returns? Because let's be honest, it's been the defenders that have been scoring for Chelsea. I'm fascinated by that game. That's one I'm definitely interested to watch.
It's going to be a good game. Matt. Where else are you going to go?
I think...
What about Everton City? So we're talking about DCL. Do we sell him? Do we keep him? Under the lights at Goodison, 8 o'clock kickoff. Do we bench him against Manchester City? How do you think about that?
Because for me, I've got to do one or two things here. I bench Diaz or I bench Dominic Calvert-Lewin.
Oh, so there's a big decision on this game then.
It has to be, doesn't it? Because the reality is, if Everton are going to score, Dominic Calvert-Lewin is probably going to be involved in that at some point.
And it's Diaz's job to stop him, frankly.
And it's Diaz's job to stop him. Yeah. And there's... So unlike Cancelo, where there's some attacking potential there, with Diaz, it really is a defensive, solid six-pointer, maybe with some bonus points if they don't score that many goals going forward. So it's basically one versus the other, I think. And so for me, it's a really tough call. At the moment, I am erring on the side of benching Calvert-Lewin.
Ooh, yikes. All right, well, there we go. I saw a comment about Calvert-Lewin there. Yeah, Mick Lustmetz is saying, I will bench DCL as well. YOLO. Points, post to points, I've benched DCL for Welbeck this week. Goodness me. Well, Brighton at it's home rogue. To Arsenal. That is rogue, isn't it? That really is rogue. Actually, FPL fan show. So Prince, who is an FPL is an Everton fan, is saying, I think he'll be rested.
What, Dominic
Calvert-Lewin to be rested?
Who's going
to
pay?
I can't see it.
Prince, who will he play in his place?
Very interested to see that. Nazir LFC, I'm benching DCL as well. So you guys not fancying so then. Dominic Calvert-Lewin against that Man City back line, which as we know is good, has been good. A back line that hasn't been quite so good is Brighton so far over the last
few
weeks.
They were good today.
They were better. But how much of that was down to West Ham? And actually, Arsenal, will Arsenal be rejuvenated from that Chelsea?
Well, they should be.
That Chelsea win. I think that's another fascinating game. Again, I'm not going to put my tongue in my cheek and say it's a relegation six-pointer, but if Arsenal can win that game, they start to just look up rather than down.
I'm telling you something. I watched Brighton today. They had something about them today. If they can take that something about them...
Even Morpie scored, I mean... Goodness me.
If they can take what they had about them today into that game at home against Arsenal, they could win that game.
I'll take your word for it, because I actually didn't watch Brighton West Ham today. I was playing FIFA with my lad, because that was a garden centre game for me. I'm reining in the amount of football I watch, and I didn't watch that game today. So I'll take your word for it. If Brighton were better, then they might give Arsenal some problems, that young Arsenal side. But Arsenal, I thought, did look better against Chelsea as well. So it'd be interesting to see who can take the form from game week 15 into 16.
Just so everyone knows, I will be yet again benching Suchek this week. So if you want to get some points, feel free to play him.
Get him in. Let's have a quick chat about Manchester United versus Wolves. Now, again, big game, 8 o'clock evening kickoff under the lights at Old Trafford. Do we think that Wolves front line, do we think that the Netos and the Fabio Silvers and all of those guys that played tonight and got a point against you guys can do it against that Manchester United defence? I wonder whether...
They might be able to get one, but they won't get more than one. Because they played for 93 minutes behind. Not quite, because obviously they scored in the 85th or something. But that was the first time they'd really had a clear-cut chance. Like, they had a lot of opportunities, but they had nothing to finish it. And that's my concern for Wolves right now.
But that was surely more down to the way that Spurs defend. Because you defend well, unlike Manchester United at times, right?
Yes, but equally, I think, you know, I watched those players, obviously. Podence, I really like Podence. I like
him. Do you?
Yeah, I really do like Podence.
I think
Podence.
He flatters to deceive sometimes. Do you? He hits the deck so easily, Podence. If he just stayed on his feet.
You're a bit sensitive to that right now. Podence, I think, is... You get very upset.
Players going down at the drop of a hat is doing my head in,
You get
honestly.
Very upset. Oh. You need to go and have a lie down about it in a dark room. Podence, I really like. I like Neto too. I'm not sure about Silva. I think he's a bit of a prima donna. But the others...
He's only 18, bless him.
Well, he needs to stop being a prima donna, I think. He needs to man up a little bit. But the other two, he needs to get a grip. I mean, some stupid decision. I mean, what's he doing trying to dive in the box? For goodness sake. You talk about Harry Kane diving. Did you see him? Oh, I've been shocked.
Go on then, Manchester United Wolves. Do you fancy Bruno Fernandes
as
captaincy in this game?
No.
You don't fancy Bruno as captain in this game? Why not?
Because I don't think Wolves are that bad. Okay. I don't think Wolves are that bad as a...
Well,
as
I'll talk more about your captain in just a second.
They can't finish, but I don't see them going to Old Trafford and conceding a lot of goals.
Right, okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. That Man United, I think, will probably win the game. But I don't see it being like 3-4-0.
I think United could do very well there. And I'm fully converted to the church of Bruno Fernandes after not having him for weeks. You could easily captain Bruno Fernandes.
Are you going to?
Probably, yes. Probably, yes. Probably.
Well, hello.
Let's talk about the games on Wednesday then. So Spurs-Fulham, which is where my captaincy will go if it doesn't go to Bruno Fernandes. But again, I just have this feeling in my head that Jose is going to do a Jose, you'll get a goal, and then you'll just sit and protect it at home to Fulham, which is criminal at home to Fulham. But if you take the approach, if Spurs take the approach that he's taken in the last five or six games, so we've got nothing to suggest that it's going to be any different against Fulham.
No.
I can see a 1-0 or another 1-1 or a 2-1. I just don't see you guys going big. Whereas Manchester United at the moment are scoring tons of goals, mainly because they let a lot in as well. But there's just far more attacking fluidity about Manchester United and goals about Manchester United than there is Spurs right now.
If I wasn't going to captain Kane, I wouldn't captain Bruno still. Right. I'd captain Salah away at Newcastle.
Would you?
Yeah. Okay. Because I think that the way that Salah is one of those blokes, isn't he, where today's game would have frustrated the hell out of him.
Last time he was frustrated at a game, he got bought off 60 minutes against Brighton. Then he come on against Crystal Palace and was frustrated for being benched then. And so frustration seems to drive Salah on.
That's what I mean. So that's why I think he's a captain option against a Newcastle team that are still missing key players because of their long COVID issues. A Newcastle team that, sorry Newcastle fans, but haven't got a lot going for them right now. Salah, frustrated, annoyed Salah, we'll go up there, I think, and put a few away.
All right. Okay, Zach here, thank you for the comment. Bruno is getting rested, he reckons. Mikko LC is saying, will Bruno play?
Yes.
I think that he will.
He can't not play Bruno. We've learnt that already in the League Cup and everything else. If you don't play Bruno, they can't win.
I think that he will. It's the Tuesday game. It's 8 o'clock in the evening at home. Wolves have got to travel to Manchester on that Tuesday, having played tonight. When did United play? Yesterday?
Yesterday.
I think Bruno plays in that game without too much trouble, to be honest with you.
They can't not play Bruno. We've learnt that over the course of this season. When Bruno has a rest, Man United fall off a cliff.
Jacob17 is saying, Old Trafford is Bruno's kryptonite, though. Well, you're right. He does seem to get better FPL points away, but that wasn't the case in the last home game where he got a goal and assist and three bonus points. So what do you say about Newcastle versus Liverpool then? Are you expecting Liverpool to bounce back?
Yes.
You are, yeah. I think there'll be a little bit more,
particularly now with the Matip injury. Because I think now we'll go back to, we've got no defenders, just let's attack at all times because it's the best way of defence.
Okay, all right. FPL Geordie, who, shock, surprise, is a Newcastle fan, says, it's okay, Sam, you're right, we are terrible.
No, I don't. I feel bad saying that. Like, but I also didn't understand it. Like, why is he benching Callum Wilson in the last game? I just don't get it.
I'll tell you what, that was an apology of a team against Manchester City, wasn't it?
What? Why?
If anyone's
going to get your points, it's Callum Wilson. What the hell is he doing on the bench?
Azzy, who's also a Newcastle fan, says, yeah, we're a soft touch. So, listen, I think Salah is a very nice captaincy choice for this weekend.
He will be our highly popular captain this week.
He absolutely will. So, having said, you know, I said a few minutes ago about it's difficult to know where to put the captaincy. This is why. Because I think we will get a reaction from Liverpool. Yeah. I think we will get a reaction from Salah. You've got Spurs at home on paper,
who need a reaction,
who have got to also react against Fulham. So Kane and Son certainly should be on your radar. And then you've got Manchester United at home to Wolves, which on paper looks more difficult than the other two. But I actually do. I fancy Bruno Fernandes to do well against Wolves, because let's face it, he does well against everybody right now. He looks fantastic. So listen, those are the fixtures. Lots of intriguing times in game week 16. I have to say, I cannot wait for tomorrow night, Chelsea versus Aston Villa. I think that is huge for Frank Lampard.
Is it a prime? It's a prime.
It's
weekend.
All on Amazon Prime.
Which means that they're all happening at... Right, we are back to games happening at the same time.
We are on Tuesday, yes.
And I love that. I love it when games are happening at the same time, because you get that. I'm watching a game, ping, notification goes off on my phone.
Much better.
And it's like, right, all this has happened in the other game, and it's flick over. I love that. It feels like proper football.
So here we go, Sam. Here is your team again from game week 15 that we've just had. Thoughts on your transfers, which have got to happen in the next, well, before 1:30 tomorrow afternoon, GMT. So what are you thinking?
Well, the original plan was a roll this week.
Okay. Have you got two free transfers? Well, you've got one, I guess. Otherwise, you'd be burning
one.
A transfer.
I've got one. Okay. Because I did, last week I did Lamptey to Dallas and I did Chilwell to Matip.
Okay.
So my plan was to roll this week, have
so
two
Matip
for next week.
So Matip is surely where you're looking,
but
right?
Now I've got to do Matip out. So I'm thinking about doing Matip to James Justin this week.
Matip to James Justin. Okay, very good. All right. Just one transfer, though.
Oh, yeah. Because the rest of them, I think, are fine. In fact, if anything, the rest of them are a struggle anyway, because it's who do you bench. So there is the potential to just bench Matip and then wait and see what happens. But James Justin has got nice fixtures and has a double, which is what I'm working towards. So it kind of makes sense.
Very good. All right, very good. Well, I am... This is my team. Again, I'm not massively unhappy with it. When I look at my team on paper, it looks okay. The transfers that I'm looking at, guys, are, again, with a view to investing in the Liverpool defence, which is something I want to do, and with a view to looking ahead to the double game week. I want Bamford. I was very, very close to getting him this week, but now that he's on penalties and his ownership is really creeping up, with that double game week, I think you have to have him. Now, the question is, how do I get him? Do I drop Kane down? Well, no, we've mentioned that before. Don't want to sell Kane ahead of those fixtures. Rightly or wrongly, with how he's performing right now, not getting rid of him ahead of Fulham and Leeds. Do I just go one transfer, Adams to Bamford? I've got money in the bank to do that. So that's a one transfer I could do, no problem at all. Or do I do Calvert-Lewin down to Bamford, which would give me the money? I'll add that to my money in my bank, and then I can upgrade one of my 4.5 defenders, probably Matt Target, to Robertson. And I have the exact money to do that. So I have the exact money.
That's not a hit, though.
That's not a hit. I have two free transfers. So I could do Dominic Calvert-Lewin and Target out, which feels really wrong to get rid of Target. He's got me three sixes in a row. But as we mentioned before, with no Mings and with the fixtures getting more difficult, I'm going to de-invest in the Aston Villa defence. Defence, sound American there. In the Aston Villa defence and de-invest in Dominic Calvert-Lewin and go Bamford and Robertson. That's what I'm thinking, for free, no hit required. Now, so one of those two is going to happen. Either way, Bamford is coming in. It's either going to be Adams up to Bamford or it's going to be Calvert-Lewin down to Bamford. And if I do the Calvert-Lewin move, I will also get Robertson for the upcoming run of fixtures and double game week. What do you reckon? What are you thinking?
The Calvert-Lewin move makes more sense in terms of your planning for game week 19.
Yes.
Than taking Adams out, because Adams has the double.
Yeah, as the guys are saying, Bamford is going up to nightly. Yes, guys, I will be doing this probably at the end of this stream. What I'm going to do, and I'll tell you guys at the end of the stream, you need to go and watch FPL Black Box. So Az and Mark are doing a late stream tonight. Go over and search on YouTube once we finish here, FPL Black Box. Go and watch those guys. I'll be in the live chat. I want to hear what the guys think about Dominic Calvert-Lewin, what they think about the Aston Villa defence with no Mings and the fixtures, etc. Because I'll be listening to those guys and thinking about my transfers. But I must admit, and that's weird.
Has your just phone told you that Bamford's going up tonight?
That is weird. My phone here, my work phone, is just, so Fix has just sent me a notification saying Calvert-Lewin approaching a fall, minus 8%. So listen, I'm not the only one thinking of Dominic Calvert-Lewin out here. And I think a lot of people will be going Calvert-Lewin to Bamford.
I don't think you are, because I think that it's inevitable with Calvert-Lewin, because it's so highly owned, that people are looking to change up their teams ahead of game week 19 and ahead of a trip, a match against Manchester City. It looks like a good opportunity to lose Calvert-Lewin.
Could be. Yeah, could be. All right. So there we go. That's what I'm thinking. Probably going to do that. Probably going to do that, because I want in on the Bamford bus.
Robertson rather than Trent.
Yeah, probably. I've got the exact money for Robertson. If I decided to do Trent, I'd have 0.1 in the bank. So that's fine. So I can do either of those two guys. But right now, I think it would be Robertson, yeah. I think it would be Robertson. So there we go, guys. That is what we are thinking for game week 16. As we mentioned before, the deadline is tomorrow. Tomorrow. Don't rest on this, guys. It's tomorrow. 1:30 GMT is the deadline for the next game week. So whatever you're thinking of doing, like me, get it done tonight. If you're thinking of getting Bamford in, like me, get it done tonight, because there's a price rise coming up and you don't want to miss that and price yourself out of getting Bamford. If I do go for Bamford and Robertson, I'm on 0.0 in my bank. So I cannot afford for that Bamford rise. So it has to be tonight if I'm going to do it. There we go, Sam. That is the end of this episode of FPL Family. It's been a bumper episode, nearly an hour and a half's worth of content for you guys. Thank you for sticking with us. We had something like 1,400 of you in at one stage. I think we have Andy to thank for that. So Andy over at Let's Talk FPL, I think, finished his stream and sent you guys all here. So thank you guys if you join from Let's Talk FPL. We're going to pass that on, and we're going to say, now that we have finished, go watch Az and Mark on FPL Black Box. Go and watch, go and search for them in the YouTube bar, FPL space Black Box, all one word. I'm subscribed. I will be in the live chat talking to both of the guys there. Really interested to hear their thoughts ahead of game week 16, which, as we said, is tomorrow, guys. Don't sleep on this. Don't sleep on this. There we go. That's the end. You can subscribe to the podcast version of this if indeed you've got time to listen to the podcast version of this before Monday lunchtime tomorrow. And of course, there's our socials. We've got Instagram at FPL Family, Twitter at FPL Family, and Facebook as well. FPL show for you this week.
And the pod
this coming
for you.
Week. Podcast so, for me, yeah, yes, but so, after game week 16, right?
So ahead of game week 17, which of course you won't see us. You won't see us ahead of that again either, because that starts on Friday.
Yes.
Lee will be on the FPL pod with James on Wednesday. Yes, the 30th.
Yes, yes.
And you can catch me and Gianni on a very early morning FPL show on New Year's Eve.
Nice. All right. Well, very good, guys. Well, listen, thank you for joining us here on what is a long episode of FPL Family. Thanks for sticking with it. Well done this game week if you got a good score. And again, like I say, don't sleep on those moves. Get them done tonight. Get it done, as Andy would say, and get ready for game week 16, 1:30 tomorrow GMT. If you're new around here, hit that subscribe button. Make sure you hit the little notify bell as well so that you know when we're live next and when we load new videos onto the channel. Leave us a like before you go. Good luck tomorrow and Tuesday for the midweek games. We'll see you next Sunday at 8:30 when we'll have something like 20 games to have a look at, and then a further 10 to have a look forward to. And we will be getting closer, Sam, to that blank and double game week fixtures.
We'll be, next time we stream, we'll be ahead of blank game week 18.
We'll be ahead of the blank. And that is when, guys, you FPL managers with your chips in hand, the proper FPL pros, that's when you come into your own in the blank and double game week. So I'm excited for it. Hope you're looking forward to it too. We'll see you next time. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.